back straight, then do short breathing meditation, you know, just focus your mind on the breath, you know, so, yeah, just do a few minutes, yeah. Okay, so then, so in now, next meditation, so in front of oneself, so try to visualize the Buddha Shakyamuni, just sitting in front of you. Try to visualize that. Okay, so next we read the prayers to Buddha Shakyamuni from the booklet there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Stop here. Okay. Now we do the Shakyamuni Buddha mantra. Okay. Five times we recite together. So now again visualize Buddha Shakyamuni in front of you clearly. Then from when you chant Buddha's mantra, then visualize that light rays or nectar come from Guru Shakyamuni Buddha into yourself by then purified. You know, all our negative thought, negative emotion, physical pain, mental suffering, so are totally purified. So visualize that. We do five times. Joy, you know, just able to think the Buddha Shakyamuni in our mind, you create so much merit. When you chant, also you collect so much merit. At the same time, you purify so much negative karma. So then feel happy and joy. Okay, then continue the prayer.
The bottom of page 5, last paragraph. Do not commit any non-virtuous actions. Perform only perfect virtuous actions. Subdue your mind thoroughly. This is the teaching of the Buddha.
I don't know what to talk today, no? So, talk what? Tantra, sutra, I don't what you want to know, so I don't. What really you want to know. for the new one, you know. And anything you want to know?
How should I greet him? Karen Rinpoche, good evening. I'm very new to Buddhism. So what's Tantra? What's Sutra? The basic question here.
I think topic was put something like that, no? What they put, Tantra and what? Sutra and Tantra. I don't know. So, here, the founder of Buddhism, called Buddha Shakyamuni. So, he get enlightened, I think, age of 35 or something like that. When I was age of 35, I think, he get fully enlightened, you know, by his practice. You know, so historically, that he was enlightened early morning, so like that. So I think in the Bisak day, normally called Bisak day, we just celebrate Bisak day the 15th, so you get fully enlightened. But according to Tibetan calendar, this month is the Bisak day according to Tibetan calendar, so this coming Monday is the full moon day, so you get enlightened. So according to Tibetan calendar. So then after you get enlightened, also he didn't really teach immediately. He have all the knowledge, he get fully enlightened, but still he didn't teach, you know, until 49 days. So, what he found is very profound teaching through his meditation. So he found very profound teaching, you know. So, but it's something very difficult to understand. So that's why he didn't really teach immediately. So then after, I think, 49 days then, I think he went to the place called Varanasi. He get enlightened in Bodh Gaya. Then after that, he went to different place, like Saranath or Varanasi. So then he teach there. The first teaching he gave is Four Noble Truths. Yeah, so first time he taught that. So he teach just for the five disciples. He teach the Four Noble Truths. So this is the first teaching Buddha Shakyamuni gave. So like that. So then this is the first of will training. Then after that he gave the another teaching a profession of sutra, wisdom sutra. He teach in the in Bodh Gaya, near Bodh Gaya, called Vulture Peak. You know, this I think from Bodh Gaya is about 1 or 2 hour drive. So he teach there. Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, you know, so for the Bodhisattvas like that, mainly teach to the Bodhisattvas. So like that, then after that also he teach another, I don't know, Bishali, I don't know, called Bishali, the young Bachchan in Tibetan, I think Vaishali or something like that, that place or the teach the third wheel training, you know, third teaching he give. Third wheel training like that. So so very first teaching, you know, he give is the Pole Noble Truth. So that is, so you can find this teaching, you know, an extensive teaching in the Mahayana teaching, also then in the Sanskrit tradition teaching, also the Pali tradition, and in the extensive teaching on this Pole Noble Truth, you know, also like Theravada tradition, so how you label it, you know, so sometimes the Hinayana tradition or Pali tradition, Theravada tradition. So that's the it's the Buddha's teaching, you know, first time he teaches Pole Noble Truth. So that's the and that teaching then also he teach Eight Noble Path. I don't know. So all this you can find in Pali tradition. also of course, this is the very basic teaching of the Buddha. Very first time he teach that. So again. So, of course, in India, of course, that time, even the, I think Buddhism, Buddha get enlightened is not so long ago, I think 2006 years, something like that. So, then he keep the teaching, but that time already exists, all the other tradition, you know, like Hindu tradition already exists in that time, a different different philosophy exists, like Hindu or other, I think Jain, I don't know, so some of the tradition already exists that. So then also then Buddha get enlightened, then he give different teaching from the their view, you know, so now so here, yes, very. Very naturally, of course. We want happiness. Very clearly that we don't want suffering. It is very, very clear. You know, for even the insect, animal. You know, there's. Naturally, they have this kind of feeling arise in the mind. I don't want suffering, you know, I want happiness. So there's no question about that, whether you want or not, you know. But any living being is equally same like that. So now, then of course, so there's all the different, this what call, philosophy came in India, I think, mainly about, you know, when you say self, I, myself, you know, I want happiness, you know. So, what is that, you know, searching for that, what kind of self, you know. So this all boils down to there, all different philosopher or the system or tenet or different view, you know, teach in different tradition. I think based on that, you know. So naturally we have this feeling, then on top of that, you know, I want happiness. You know, Sam? So now very big question is when you say I, who is that? You know, so this is the question for every religious, or it's arise, you know, you think more, then of course, you know, the question naturally come there, you know. So So like that. So searching for the I. So that's the big thing, big question, you know. So then, this is the first question for all the different tradition, you know, who have this philosophy of the teaching based on that. So therefore, so then you see all the philosopher, you know, all the different religious before the Buddha exists, Buddha came. So like Hindu tradition, you know, so that also they do believe, this belief in the future life, also they believe the past life. This non-Buddhist philosopher also they do believe that. So then all boils down to the self, you know, who is really the self, who really want happiness, who really go to the next life, who really came from the past life. So this is the very first question for them. Then of course they have to think, you know, so they give the idea, you know, so there should be self, you know, so they look for many different reasons, so they cannot really possess the body, you know, the thing about the body is not self, so mind is not, body is not, so what is self, you know, so that they say must have that, you know, the conclusion must have self, you know. So therefore, from their philosophy view, so they put, you know, something else, something separate from the body and mind, you call self, is there, you know. Something different from body, something from different from mind. So that's the self, which is impermanent. Self is there. So that how most of the religious, you know, so they believe such a self, you know, sometimes, I don't know, the Christian they call the soul, or, you know, so sometimes the Indian tradition they call the Atma, or soul, or in Buddhist, I don't know, called self, or, you know, so must be there. So according to non-Buddhist philosopher tradition, so self is something like that, because, you know, the body cannot go to the next life, body, you know, cannot go to the next life, so something have to go next life. So that is the self. Something separate from the body, you know, separate from the mind, that such a self exists, so this really go life to life. So that's the self. So then of course then many of the non-Buddhist philosophers also, I mean, like they believe the creator, creator God, you know, like creator who create everything. So they have different beliefs. So like that. So so here, so when I talk about the self as a Buddhist tradition, according to Buddhist philosopher, so when you say I want happiness, I don't want suffering, so there's such a self is there. So then but that self is, there's not such a self which is separate, totally separate from the body. That kind of self is not possible, according to Buddhist philosopher, so not possible there. So self which is self which is permanent, also not possible. Something separate from the body, you know, something separate from the mind, not possible. So the permanent self is not possible, according to Buddhist philosopher like that. So that's the so that's why in Buddhist teaching always you see that selflessness, there's no self, you know. So this is something important to understand. So when you say no self, so that means no self means there's self, there's no self which is separate from the body, separate from the mind. Such a self doesn't exist. You know, the permanent self, separate from the body, separate from the mind, that kind of self doesn't exist. So we can understand that in a simple way. No self, you know, selflessness in Buddhism like that. So so then there's that big difference with Buddhists and non-Buddhists, you know. So non-Buddhists, they believe self, you know, which is separate from body and mind. In Buddhism, we don't believe that self, you know. Such a self doesn't exist. So that is, I think that's the one of the different. So then, I mean, the another. So then, but then of course, then whether there's beginning or not. So, no, again, okay. So then, so non-Buddhists, of course, I think most of them, almost most of them, believe the Creator, who, you know, Creator God, you know, who create us, create sentient being, create the world like that, everything created by the God, the Creator God, they do believe that. Then, of course, then when you come to the Buddhism, then they don't, we don't, Buddhism doesn't believe I'm the Creator God, you know. So Buddhism is why they don't create God, because in Buddhism, of course, it's all come from cause and condition. According to Buddhist philosophers, so everything exists due to cause and condition. Everything depending origination, you know, depend for something, and because of this it happened, you know. So because of cause, there's the result. So from there, they talk about the karma, you know, you create good karma, you get happiness, you create bad karma, you get suffering. So Buddhist philosopher believe in that way. So once you believe that way, then you cannot accept the Creator God, you know, it's become contradictory, logically it's become different, contradictory each other. So therefore, Buddhism don't believe that Creator God. So like that. So the Buddhists, I mean the philosopher, they believe everything interdependent. So, you know, cause and result. So like that. So like that. So then now, now next question is that whether there's beginning or not. So that's the question, you know. The self have beginning or not. No, so that's the second question. Then third question will be whether self have end or not. You know, beginning or end, you know. So first is question is self, then after that you accept the self, then whether beginning or not, whether end or not. So so then when you say beginning, whether there's beginning of self or not. You know, so of course, here, once you believe the Creator of the God, so then, of course, you can say that's the beginning, you know. First time you are created by the God, created by the God. So that means it just happened first time. So, so this is your first life because God just created you, you know. So their philosophy is like that. So then, of course, then you say there's no beginning. Oh, there's the beginning, yeah? Yeah, first time created by God, so the beginning, so therefore there's no past, you know? So of course, so, I mean, this also, I mean, depend, you know, of course, every religious we should respect, of course. I mean, that also, I mean, depend the practitioner, how they think, you know, they really believe the God, of course, there's some benefit, of course, to change, you know, so anyway, so then, so you can say that's the beginning. Then, of course, when you talk about the Buddhism, then, Also. I'm just wondering, in Tibet we don't have the sound system in beginning, you know. I don't know how people really listen, I don't know. Huh? Of course, there's like 5,000, 6,000 in people that are, you know, teaching, but no mic system in the old tradition. I don't know how they really hear, I don't know, but I'm just sometimes. What we're talking just now. Huh? What? So like that. So so when you believe, you know, so Creator God, so of course then you can say that it's possible to say that's the beginning, this is the first life God create you. You know? So like that. So then, according to Buddhism, of course, then, whether there's beginning of the life or beginning of the self or not, then. So again, you have to understand, I said there's selflessness. Are you playing off there? I'm joking. I'm just joking, huh? So so here Buddhism, as I mentioned, so we believe that everything exists due to interdependent cause and effect. So Buddha teach that kind of philosophy. So because of that, then once you settle with this philosophy, cause and effect, interdependent cause and effect, then is then of course then whether there's beginning or not, then question is quite difficult to say that's the beginning of the self, you know. So so therefore in Buddhism, so we don't believe in beginning. So therefore you see in Buddhism you see the beginningless. No? So there's no beginning. So this all goes into the logic now, you know. So something exists, have to depend to something else. Without that, doesn't exist. You know, so like result depend the cause. No cause, no result. So then this cause also needs something to create it. You know, you need some cause to produce this. So you go like that, you know. So, logically like that, then there's no beginning of the self. So, beginningless. So, like that. So not only the self, not only the life, ourself, but include almost everything. There's no beginning, you know. Everything has no beginning like that, you know. Because once you accept cause and effect, then that's beginningless, you know. So that's logically you have to say that. So so that's the difference. Yeah, so according to Buddhist philosopher, so there's no beginning. So like that. So then the end, ending. Then of course I don't know what other, I don't know exactly, but maybe other can say end, I don't know, there's an end, because once you do good, then you are take reward in the heaven or whatever, you know. Must be then, that's the, your end, you know. You must be there forever, must be, I don't know. According to their philosophy, I don't know. Whether they're true, I don't know much, but they say must be end, you know. Because once you do good thing, you take reward in the heaven, maybe that's all, you know. There's nowhere to go after that. You do bad, you go to hell. Once you go, that's it, you know. I'm not sure. Maybe they may process like that, but I don't know exactly, but they may say that's end, that's the beginning. So I'm not sure. But here, according to Buddhism, so there's also no end. No end of self, no end of mind. So continuation of the mind, continuation of self, always there, continually. So, according to Buddhists, so like that. So, you know, so endless, beginningless. So I think that what Buddhists believe. So like that. So, but again, so here go. Go back to the Four Noble Truth. So therefore, Four Noble Truth, you can see that, you know, first he talk about the suffering, you know, something nobody want that, you know, physical, mental suffering, nobody want that. It's very clear. So then again Buddha teach all this suffering come from cause. So he teach about the second noble truth, what you call true origination, yeah, the cause of the suffering. So you talk about the true origination. So like that. So then, so here now. So again, all the suffering came from the cause. You know, because of this, then produce the suffering. So that's what Buddha teach about, you know. He teach all the suffering. Then he say how it came about. So it is very, very important to understand. You know, so here, So for example, so when somebody who smoke, due to that get headache or cancer or headache, whatever, you know, due to smoke or drink, you know, too much smoke, for example, get cancer or headache. I mean, whatever sickness came from them. So main thing, doctor can see that clearly, you know, where your sickness coming from, so... You know, due to this, you know, because drinking or smoking, whatever reason, doctor can see clearly then, say that when you avoid, then you don't get the headache or cancer, whatever, you know. So, just example, so like that, so Buddha keep teaching, you know, all the suffering came from in your own mind. So Buddha's teaching is that, you know, so, so all the teaching is created by your own mind, all the suffering, created by your own mind. All the happiness is created by own mind. So logically it teach like that, you know. When your mind is subdued, then you are peaceful, happy. When your mind is not subdued, then you are unhappy, you get the suffering. So boils down to our own mind. So that's the essence of the Buddha's teaching, like that. So then again, Buddha said in First Noble Truth, you know, the main cause of suffering is the what you call this, of course, all the suffering came from attachment or anger. The negative mind produce all the suffering. But once that, then again, you look deeper, then all this came from the the root of the suffering is the ignorance. So that is not knowing the reality of the existence. For such a self, for example, such a self, you know, how the self, or I, exists in reality. Because of not knowing that, so that's the main cause for the, all the different type of suffering what you experience. So that's the Buddha's teaching like that. So here you can see that, you know, so when the attachment arises, anger arises, you know. So for me, when the negative emotion, anger, arises in our mind, you know. So I mean, this easy to understand for once how that disturbs your mind. So, so you can see that, you know. So we can recognize that, you know, when you contemplate, you know, easy to recognize that how that immediately disturbs your mental peace, you know, when the anger arises. Immediate attachment, maybe, of course, when it's small, then you don't see that disturbing your mind. But when you engage more, then when the attachment becomes very strong, then of course again, your mind is no peace, disturbed, you know. It's very easy to recognize that. So, so you can see that, you know, how the attachment and anger bring unhappiness for oneself, you know, disturb the mind. This is quite obvious, you know. But when it's small, you don't recognize. But when you engage more and more on this, you know, when become strong, manifest, you know, your mind is overwhelmed by that negative emotion, then that time you can feel that, you know, so much difficulties, you know. So what matter you have around you, you know, how luxury place you live, or how comfortable life you live, or how many friends you have or not, it doesn't make much difference, you know. When your mind is totally disturbed, then it's all become not useful for oneself to bring happiness. All this other condition, what you used to believe, you know, this is bringing all the happiness for oneself. Such as wealth, you know, friendship or relationship or you know, whatever it is. So normally you consider this is condition for the happiness, supposed to be help for the happiness, you know. But when your mind is totally disturbed, then, you know, with such attachment and anger, then you can see very clearly, you know, it doesn't really support for your happiness, because the mental unhappiness, the mental suffering is extremely powerful. So so then so here, so then again, how this attachment arises in your mind, how the anger come about in your mind. So again, in Buddhism, again you have to meditate and look deeper. You know, why I have this attachment, why I have this anger arising in your mind. So this is another deeper question to ask for oneself in the Buddhism. So here Buddha explained, by one of the Indian pundit explained in the, his one of his treasury of the knowledge, one of the texts. So, meeting the object, one is for example, meeting the object, seeing the object, meet the object. Yeah. If you don't hear my English, then please ask immediately. Meet the object. Yeah. Seeing the object, contact with the object. So that's the one of the cause to arise anger or the anger and the attachment. So like that. Then one thing is another cause is improper mental attention. You know, improper mental attention. So then that's the one thing. One thing is because we have this imprint from the previous, you know, we have this negative imprint in our mind. That means we have been abandoned the imprint of the negative emotion in the past. So imprint is still exists in your mind. So here, so due to the imprint, you know, because the main cause is the imprint that left by the in the previous life. From the previous life, you know, so again here you have to understand in Buddhism, so before we say there's no beginning, you know, so beginning life, you know, there's no beginning of the life, beginningless life. So that means of course we take so many different kind of rebirth according to Buddhism, so, you know, up, down, like there's so many, you know, so there's not one time, you know, so numberless of time like that, so. So there are so many imprints habituated with this negative emotion in the past. So left imprint in the mind. You know, habituation is always there in your mind. So therefore, you know, you see the object, you meet the object, you see the object. So that happened. So then on top of that, the improper mental attention. So then, after meeting that, then of course our mind made up so much on the object. So idea is that, you know, when you see something a little bit unpleasant, then because you superimpose on the object, our mind, you know, put so much in the object. bad, you know, your own kind of reason, you know. Not really true, you know, because your negative emotion, you know, somehow level on the object like that, you know, this bad, you know, he look bad this way, he talk bad, you know, you know, every angle you see the bad way. You know, so you really put up so much, you know, so like that on the object, beyond the reality. Not in the object at all, but all this your mind met there. On the object like that. Pleasant, unpleasant, but when you say pleasant also like that, you know. First thing you see, because the imprint, you meet the object, you see something. But on top of that, after meeting, seeing object, then you put so much on the object, you know. So, you, of course, you do the, you know, for object, you do the decoration, you know. Decorate at the object. You know what you see then, you know. You put that, then wow. You know? Huh? So your mind really puts so much on that, you know. But not in the object at all. So you have to understand that. You know, so then, in reality, of course, your mind puts so much on the object, you know, good or bad. you know, you meditate, you will understand that. In the very first moment, not like that. After a while, you know, by minute, hour, day, month, like that, then, you know, object become 100% beauty, for example, 100% there on the object like that. But you really met, you know, over the time you met up all these things, but you never recognize that. The point is that, you know, you met up, appear to you in your mind, but you never notice that, you know, you never notice that you met this, you know. You think, oh, it's coming from the object, 100% from the object, that what appeared to you. How that then not only appeared, you believe that. 100% and beauty like that. Then also enemy, such an enemy also like that, you know. So mainly you level on that, or this bad, you know, so with so many your own mistaken reason. With appearing to anger mind, then you level so much, then your anger becomes so strong. Then view of the anger of what you see, the object is 100% unpleasant, you know, from the own object, from the own sight, like that. So it's very clear, you know, this good meditation to do that. So, but we don't recognize that again, you know, the unpleasant or enemy, we never think that your mind met, you know, or something there, you know, that how, what happened to our mind, you know, then 100% believe on that, then how that disturb our mind. Attachment or anger, whatever it is, all the negative emotion is like that. I'm just giving example of this too, but, so, so that is, so, so that's the problem, you know. You see something, you know, beautiful on the object, 100% from exists from the object. Unpleasant, 100% exists from the object. So that's the, that kind of believing is the ignorant mind. When you say ignorant, what is ignorant? So, like that. So, in reality, of course, the enemy or beauty is just appearance in your mind, not really in the reality, you know, exists from the own sight, not truly exists there. Something your mind made. So, you believe that, you know, so that is the base of all the problem, all the suffering, all the attachment is like that. So, you know, ignore and believe that, from there produce all sort of this negative attachment, anger, jealous, pride, whatever. Become very strong, then how they disturb our mind. You know, so not only that, so then you engage, then the action, though, you know, so karma, then because due to that, then you engage in the different type of action due to the, this negative emotion. You know, such as anger and attachment. Then how that, how you harm, disturb your mind, not only that, disturb other, you know. So that means, again, you know, you are habituated with this kind of negative emotion, you know, in daily life, you know, again and again like that. Then, so again, that means you make your, what call, again, leaving another so much negative imprint in one's mind like that. So that's the how it goes, you know, like that, you know. So never ending. So that means never ending, you know, of the suffering because of our negative emotion. So that's the person. True noble truth is about that, true suffering and cause of the suffering. So Buddha explained about these two things very clearly. They are like that. So now this is the reality, how everyone suffer. So Buddha, this is the reality, you know, due to this happened, you know. So Then now another question, then what? You know, we know we suffer, we know this, then what? You know. So, of course, the main important teaching of the Buddha is about now, talk about the two truths, true path, true cessation. So this is the very important part. So, so here, so Buddha says, of course, you can eliminate all the suffering is possible, Buddha said. Definitely it's possible. So that's the Buddha's teaching is that. Why is this possible? Because all the suffering come from the cause. You know, such as negative emotion. Because of that, we suffer. So then what he teach, because possible, because this negative emotion can be eliminated. You know, so all the root of negative emotion is the ignorance. You know, so that means believing truly exists from his own side, like that. So, so this is the wrong mind. So the point is that this kind of believing is not valid mind. It's the wrong, a mistaken mind, wrong mind. You know, wrong way of believing, wrong mind, no basis for the logic, it doesn't support by the logic, you know, so it's the mistaken mind. So, so therefore Buddha said, this mistaken mind can be reduced, can be removed. So it's possible, Buddha said like that. So then he talked about the true path. So, true path is here, so you can understand as understanding how the self exists, how the thing exists, you know. So like that. So that's the true path is about knowing the reality, you know. Everything exists is not independently, it exists, you know. It exists independence on something else, you know, so like that. So it doesn't exist in without depending other. Nothing exists without depending other. So what your mind believe, you know, truly exists is not correct. It's wrong mind. You know, in reality, it doesn't exist that way. You know, there's the wisdom. We understand the reality, how the reality exists, such as self exists. You know, true dependent of something else, depending something else, then the self exists. Not truly exists, but depending on something, then self exists like that. So, so here, so when you understand that, you know, so how the thing exists, for example, the self, how the self exists, when the self, I, how that exists is depending on the five aggregates, you know, depending on the mind and the body. Basis on these two, then self or I just appear, you know, nothing else, you know, just the appearance based on this mind, based on the body, you know. So then, when you say self, you know, when you say I, self, you know, so when the body appear, the basis appear, then self just appear, you know. So self is all about that, nothing more than that, you know. Nothing self on the body, you know. You cannot find self on the body like that. So, but for us who believe self is inside the body or somewhere there, truly outside there in the body, but in reality, according to Buddhism, there's not such a self there. You know, self is just mere appearance on your mind, basis on the body and the mind. So like that. So when you understand that, You know, when you truly understand that, then you don't have this wrong concept. You know, what you used to believe that can be reduced and slowly can be removed totally. You know, when you realize, when you have this develop the true path in your mind, realizing emptiness directly, then you'll see then you are able to remove, you know, the true cause of the suffering, which is ignorance. So like that, then that when you remove this cause of the suffering, ignorance, then of course there is the happiness called the true cessation or liberation or nirvana, what you call so. That's the possible. So this is very, very, very important point to understand about the Buddhism. You know, a whole key point is that, you know, to understand how the how you can remove all the suffering, you know, whether liberation is possible or not, you know, whether can be free from suffering or not. So that's a very, very big question. You know, that cannot free, then there's no point to know all the suffering, you know. So so therefore, according to Buddha's teaching, so that's possible, you know. So therefore he teaches true path, true cessation. So that's the very, very important teaching like that. So you really want to understand Buddhism, then you must understand Four Noble Truths, you know. So otherwise doesn't make much difference, you know, whether you any other religious and Buddhism become same, nothing much different. You know, only differentiate is from here. You know, in Buddhism we talk about the cause and condition, then suffering comes from the cause. The root cause is ignorance. Then with the wisdom, able to remove the ignorance. So that possible. So therefore possible of liberation. So this is very, very important to understand that. So when you have this kind of intelligence, you really know from the heart, you know, when you think a little bit, you really understand them, then you really appreciate what Buddha really teach, you know, in the sutra, anyway, topic for sutra or that anyway, so what Buddha teach, you know, in the sutra is about that. So very, very important. So otherwise, I mean, sometimes we see when it's a Buddhism, then just sounds like a going to the temple and just pray, you know. That's all, you know, a Buddhist like that. But you don't really know. As I mentioned, the Four Noble Truths, you don't know. You know, just pray, okay. Again, when you go to pray, it's like, you know, like temporary happiness or no long life or good health or, I don't know, prosperity, you know. Only this much, you know, you don't really think about me. I achieve liberation almost. I don't know how many people go pray. I don't know, but... Incense offering, flower offering. I mean, normally people just, you know, no sickness, long life, you know, a long, what do you call this, success, business, good life. You know, we don't really think of so far beyond this life, you know, only this life, very limited. Then is this, every religious does that, you know, it doesn't make difference for Buddhism, all this, only this, you know, you don't get the flavor of the Buddhism, you know, just by doing that. So, very important is that I mentioned, knowing the Four Noble Truths, you know. So, you really understand that, then you see, you know, really what Buddha said. Then, of course, not easy to understand, but you need more meditation, you know, and the Four Noble Truth like that. So, when you really understand that, then you really appreciate what Buddha really teach, you know. So then, you know, when you see that liberation is possible, you know, so liberation possible, enlightenment is possible, you know, logically like that. So so then you really appreciate like that. Then from there, of course, then you say Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. Then you really mean when it says, I go to refuge to Buddha, I go refuge to Dhamma, I go refuge to Sangha, then you really meant it from your heart. You know, when you understand Four Noble Truth, then you really understand the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Otherwise, you never understand what the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. So then you don't understand, you just pray Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. So then it's just, you know, nothing really deep, you know. So, point is, you understand Four Noble Truth, then you really understand Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. You know, what is Buddha, what is Dhamma, what is Sangha. So then, this becomes very, very, you know, your refuge, really helpful then, you know, with understanding, you know. So then, so that's the, then of course, then going refuge will become stronger, then of course your practice become more powerful, no? Not like that. So, so here again, so when you say practice Dharma, so here, in Tibetan word, Dharma is Chö. Chö, I don't know. Dharma by English. Dharma is Sanskrit, I think. Yeah? Huh? What is English then? Huh? Sanskrit. Huh? Sanskrit. What is the English then? It's okay. Huh? English word? I don't know. Anyway, so some we don't have. So here Dharma in Buddhism, they translate into Tibetan, then they say Chö. Chö is the Dharma translate Chö. Chö is here, great meaning there. In Tibetan word, Chö is like, I don't know. I think change, it means something change. Awesome, can be understood like protect or change or protect or so something like that. So so here so I mentioned before, so mainly, you know, so mainly like, you know, whatever you do, you know, so that really harm your negative emotion. So that is the Dharma, you know. Chö is that really change that negative emotion. You know, so for example, love and compassion, for example. When you develop love and compassion, that really harm to the negative emotion, such as anger. So then, when you practice, you know, meditate, love and compassion, so that means you are practicing the Dharma. You know, so that means you harm to the, this negative emotion, such as anger like that, able to reduce that. So I mean, there's, when you say Dharma practice, you know, so about that, so like that, so, I mean, there's so many things, you know, about, like making prostration, making offering, all these things, you know, supposed to help to subdue your mind. You know, when you really know, then you're able to subdue the mind. You know, like, I mean, they give example, like prostration, making prostration is supposed to subdue your pride, you know. Pride, the mind, pride or proud, or I don't know. Huh? Pride, proud, pride, yeah. Right, so prostration is, I mean, you really do well, so, I mean, it really reduce your, this pride, you know, the mind. When you have pride, then you're not able to put your hand together, you know, to respect. So, I mean, making prostration is something like that, no respect, sincerely from the heart, depth of the heart, you know, when you put palm together, you know, prostration doesn't mean only the holy object, you know, you can put palm together with anybody, you know, sincere respect, the showing of the respect, you know. So I think the Indian tradition, they have namaste, I don't know, namaste, you know that? Huh? In Nepal also we have this namaste, you know, whatever you see they put like that, you know. So, and this become like a custom in the Nepal, even the child, you know, 1, 2, 3 years, they will do that, when you go there, they will do like that, so. This is the culture in the Nepal like that. So I mean, this is really respect. So I mean, just giving example like that. So really, really helpful, you know. So practice should be like that, you know. So so any kind of practice you do which really harm or reduce your negative emotion, so that become a Dharma practice, you know, that called Dharma. So because this able to change or able to reduce, you know, your negative emotion, you know, so reduce your suffering, you know. So here many talk about the mental suffering. So like when you reduce that, so this all come from your the way of how you think it, you know. You know, the mental suffering removed by the mental way of thinking, how you think it, you know. You think well, then of course this negative emotion will be reduced, able to eliminate. So so this is, I mean, so like that. So so here, so really, so we have this human intelligence. So here Buddha said, not the animal can do that. Our human mind can think, you know, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, you know, after 10 years, 20 years, we can plan for that, you know, what to do that, you know. We can plan that. I think animal, I don't think so, they can plan, you know, what to do next day, you know, I don't know. When the dog can plan next day what to do, I don't know. Huh? I don't know, even the bird, I don't know, then they can think tomorrow I'm going to bird park, I don't know, some, I don't know. Whether they really think that capacity, I'm not sure, you know.
Plan to build a nest.
Huh? But I'm just, how long they can think my point is, you know. Of course, maybe yeah, 1 day, 2 day, maybe like that, but I don't think so they can build, they can think too long, I don't know. I think their mind just come, you know, like that. But I don't think so they plan too long, you know, not like human being. So like that. So here, so the human being have much greater intelligence, you know. So also according to scientists, I don't know, who have so many, the brain, I don't know, brain cell, you call? Brain, I don't know. Brain nerves or cell, I don't know. What do you call? They say, I heard we don't use everything, you know, we do just, you know, this big, but only use this much, you know, I heard. You know, the brain have capacity to, you know, from the scientific point of view, you know. So, when you think positively, you know, more and more like that, then your brain can activate. Brain can be activated like that. So, so that's the possibility. On the basis that human brain have this capacity, you know, if we develop, you know, the brain have this capacity, you know, to develop like that. So, so from there also we can understand that, you know, able to develop the wisdom like that. So liberation, all those are possible like that. Also, reason I heard the scientists, they research, you know, somebody do some kind of meditation, loving kindness, this and that. You know, so then, from that they can see that your brain cell change like that. I don't know, recently they have so many research on that. You know, you're able to change brain cell like that through the developing this loving kindness and our meditation. Yeah, so like that. So, so so therefore, so you have to see that, you know, beginning, there's no beginningless of self. So again, there's endless of self. So when you say endless of self, so you have to, again, of course, what kind of self will go next life? Again, what kind of rebirth there? You know, so we cannot be all the time same human being like that. Logically, not possible. You know, so due to what kind of life or what kind of karma we have created, so depend on that, what kind of next life we'll go, you know. We take rebirth. So all depend on that. So so if you at this human life we have so much intelligence, if you don't use properly, you just use just say how the other use, just living daily life, you know, just going through that, just like other animal, no different from the, you know, not different from the animal, but oneself, you know, except the body, way of thinking is exactly the same, just to survive, you know, nothing more than that. You know, always attachment, anger, involved on this negative emotion, like that, go like that, then it doesn't make big difference from the animal. So like that, then of course, if we live like that, of course, then next life will be like that again, you know, involving on this negative emotion again and again like that. Oh. So this way, there's endless suffering for oneself, you know. So never end up the suffering. Then we circle in the samsara, you know, like, you know, again take rebirth, die, rebirth, die, like that, you know. So there's no end of suffering. So like that. So here Buddha said by that, so understand Four Noble Truths, put the effort, put the practice, then you're really able to reduce the negative emotion. You know, first thing is reduce negative emotion is all important. Then of course best is to cutting from the root. You know, once you're able to do that, Buddha said, once you do that, then you don't have to circle in the samsara. You don't need to suffer again and again in the samsara like that. So you can achieve, you can be free from the samsara, you know, so like that. So, but, you know, so like that. But still, even you get enlightened, of course, then your mental continue is still running like that. So there's no end, you know, you're still helping sentient being like that, you know. So, so the endless of the mind, and that means endless of the self, according to Buddhism like that. So, so main advice that here, you know, so having intelligence, then must put effort, must know the Buddha's teaching, then put effort. Even if you cannot really cut, but at least reduce the negative emotion. So that's the very, very essential advice from the Buddha. So therefore, you see, you know, in the three basket of teaching, they're called three basket of teaching, or three pitakas, I don't know. You know, so collection of three teaching. You know, you talk about the teaching and the vinaya, you know, one collection of sutra that compiled together by the Buddha's student, you know, all this, all talk about the vinaya, so it is disciplined, how to discipline yourself, you know, the physically, verbally, mentally, how to discipline. So there's the collection of the sutra Buddha teach, Buddha's student, they all combine together and make that. There's another sutra, sutra teach about the wisdom, I don't know how you call about the Abhidhamma. Abhidhamma, so there's collection of that, so that teaching teach about the wisdom, you know. So teaching about the wisdom, which is really able to cut, you know, root of the samsara. So teach about that, there's a collection of that. There's one sutra all combined together, what do you call it? Well, I don't know how the name, but anyway, that sutra is the topic is about teaching the concentration of meditation. So like that. So there's a collection of sutra, many teach about the main topic teaching about the meditation. So there's three collection of the sutra, three pitakas, I think. I don't know, something like that. So the topic is, teaching on morality, then teaching the concentration, teaching on the wisdom like that. So that's the, so the practice can be included in there, you know. So very first he teaches like how to discipline oneself, you know, physically, verbally, mentally, you know, to discipline that. Teach about that. That's why he talk about the different kind of precept, you know, like full ordination. Then, you know, there's many different kind of discipline he teach. So like the, even the lay people, so they have like five precept, you know, taking five precept, this and that. So there's many to discipline for oneself. So like that. So very first step of the Buddha's advice that, you know, discipline. Even the one day taking the precept, you know, the one day lay precept like that, taking one day like that, you know. So that kind of precept, you know, Buddha is very, very kind, you know, for us sometimes very difficult to commit whole life. You know, so Buddha give this advice, you know, one day precept like that. So like that. So in this way, so you train your mind like that, so not to engage in the negative emotion, you know, by disciplining yourself, then you engage less in the negative emotion. So that means you reduce. So that means you don't have much imprint in your mind, less imprint. So this the so Buddha's very one of his advice very beginning like that. Then of course when you good discipline, then on top of that you do the meditation like that. So that is mainly subdue your mind in single point object like that. So when you really single pointedly stay in one object, so there's no negative emotion arise in the mind. So you can very helpful for one to not to arise anger and attachment. Doesn't manifest in the mind like that. When you are stable mind like that. So then of course then the main important is the wisdom as mentioned there, you know, then within concentration you look in the object when attachment arise, you know, how that arise, you know. So see what you see, what you believe is not really real like that, you know. Or this deluded mind like that, you know. So when you're able to see like that, then of course your attachment have no power, you know, no power, you know. Even the attachment arise, there's no powerful attachment arise. When you recognize this all are diluted, you know, not really real, you know, it's just your mental projection. It's not really real like that, you know, like seeing like a dream like that, you know, understanding like a dream. So like that, so so then even you see the object, then you know the attachment or anger is not powerful at all. You know, so you really, you know, you're waking up from the deluded mind like that, you know. So when you have wisdom, so that means you really wake up from the ignorance. You know, so like that, so so like that, so so Buddha's teaching all about that, you know, so mainly combined in the three pitakas in the sutra. So you know how to discipline, how to develop concentration, how to develop wisdom like that. So so when you have this three practice, then you're able to what's called able to free oneself from the ocean of samsara like that, you know. So that's the Buddha teach in the sutra. I mean, main thing that, of course, then, like this mainly from the Pali tradition. This all come from Pali tradition. So sometimes you can, you know, also Buddha teach in the first wheel training. So he teach about that. So then, so sometimes also they translate, I don't know, Hinayana teaching or something like that. So it's about that, you know, so Pali tradition like that. So Then of course, when you say selflessness, so in Buddhist philosophy, so there are many different explanation about the selflessness, you know, so, you know, gross and subtle, you know, there's way of describing explanation of the selflessness. So like that. So here, so to explain more what is about selflessness, so then Buddha teach and the second will training, you know, perfection of the Wisdom Sutra in Bolshevik Peak, like that, in India. So he teach more elaborate about the object clear light. You know, we say object clear light. That means emptiness. You know, so that more elaborate in the second wheel training. So mainly talking from the point of view, from the object, you know, how the thing exists, you know. So you can see that in the Heart Sutra, you know, there's no eye, there's no ear, there's no nose, what, you know, in the Heart Sutra, you know. So that doesn't mean there's no nose, it doesn't mean that, you know. So it means there's no truly existing nose, there's no truly existing eye, there's no truly existing, you know, body, whatever, you know. So that meaning is that. So more deeper talk about the existence of the reality like that. So also they talk about the clear light of the object like that. So then so like that. So so it's very helpful here. So when you understand how the thing exists, you know, what you believe, it doesn't exist. You know, what you used to believe, it doesn't exist that way. But it exists a different way. You know, one way to understand I think the Rambo example is very, very good, you know, Rambo. Rambo example is, I think very good, you know. So when you see the Rambo from far, you know, yeah, you can see different color, five different color, beautiful color. Oh, Rambo is there, of course. I mean, nobody can deny there's no Rambo. You cannot say Rambo is there. You know, that's it. You know, you see, that's it. But you cling on so much the Rambo. Rambo is over there, you know. Killing is solid over there like that. What we believe. Then you really want that Rambo, you know. I want that Rambo, you know. You go and find, hold that Rambo, bring the home, you know. So that's not possible, you know. So you could go there, where is the Rambo? You really want, you look for, there's no Rambo at all. You cannot find at all. So so exactly like that. So this very, very good example for oneself. When you say self, I, who cherish so much, attached so much, who believe so much attached to the self, you know. Exactly like a Rambo, that one is like that. So of course, depending on the aggregate, you know, when you sit down, I'm sitting, I'm there, you know. So like that, okay, I'm there, you can see that, you know. You cannot deny that I am not there, of course. You're sitting there, of course, definitely. But what we think is, I'm sitting there very solidly, you know, something there solid. Then, that's the problem. You know, so hold on so much, tightly on that kind of view, believing, you know, that becomes the problem. But again, you know, you look, what you see, there's something there, but you go look deeper, you cannot find the self there at all. Within the aggregate, within the mind, there's no self you cannot find. So like that, then you really, you know, what you hold on is not there. Like a Rambo example, you know, so it's very, very good like that. So when you see like that, then of course you don't have much anger, you don't have much attachment, you know, able to reduce that. So like that. So very good to understand that, you know, how the thing exists. It's just, you know, conventionally when you look that, so that's that. Conventionally, you look, you know, there, everything there, but you look, ultimately, go look really there, and not there. So this is something Rambo is, I think, very, very good example, you know, so when you're angry so much, and look at the eye closely, you know, like looking for the Rambo like that, you go closely to the, when you get angry, why is the anger, why is the I who get angry, why is the anger, you know, the person who get angry, why is that, you know. Like finding the Rambo, exactly like that, you cannot pinpoint that. So then, why I'm getting angry, you know, so just your mind just made up, you know, actually nothing, you know. So then, how you relax your mind, you know, the anger doesn't arise so much then. In this way, of course, that you don't shout, you don't fight. You know, why you fight is all about that, you know, because we see something, you know, angry somewhere, they are solid, I'm there solid, oh, he hurt me like that. You know, something believing real there like that. So because of that, you cannot take it, you know. So then, of course, then you say something, or you act verbally, physically, some action come out, you know, then hurt others. This is the how we create the suffering, you know. So not only this life, but you know, life like that. So become how we really. So here is really need to think, you know, how to reduce negative emotion, not to create the karma, you know. So. That's the really man, really wise, you know, really wise to think in that way. As a human being, then must put more, use more on that direction, you know, how to reduce the suffering, you know. So, not, again I said, not this life suffering, but next life suffering. Somebody asks whether you want to suffer next life or not. Of course, question is no. After that, you want to suffer after that life? The answer is no. You know, any lifetime you don't want to suffer. It's very clear. You know, so then how to not to suffer that? So only is mentioned that only Four Noble Truths tell you very clearly. You know, once you cut root of the samsara, then of course you are totally free. You know, isn't that wonderful? Huh? Isn't that wonderful? You want that? Otherwise, always like temporary, you know, day to day. I mean, this everybody can do. You know, you look deeply, I mean, day to day to survive is even dog and insect. Everybody can do that, you know. Sometimes even they do better than us. You know? Huh? You mean the end, you know, how they find out the sweet, you know, from the ten story they can find out the sweet, you know, the human being cannot. So just working for this life is and can do. So I mean what Buddha's talk is about, we put more look for further more. You know, like life like that. So this only come from the Buddha's teaching. You know, so also Buddha's teaching, the sutra is three pitakas, you know, they talk about the morality, concentration, wisdom, like that. Talk about that, this talk on the, in the Hinayana, or Theravada tradition. Then of course, when you talk Mayana, okay, so there's the, another teaching, okay, so maybe we'll talk this next class So I'll talk a little bit about the mind. So here, so the Tantra Buddha teaching, the third wheel training time, the Buddha teach Tantra. So again, in Tantra, it's mainly talking about the mind again, you know. Different level of the mind according to Tantra, you know, so they talk different level. So here again, so in the third wheel training, so mainly talk about the clear light from the subjective, object and subject. So here in the third wheel training, many Buddha talk about the clear light from the subjective point of view. So he's talking about the Buddha nature, you know, clear light, so there's many, so this thing. Third in the wheel training, okay, so maybe I'll talk a little bit on the next class, okay? Today is finished now. So then next I talk a little bit of Tantra, so a little bit, you know, what is Tantra and Sutra. Okay, this is just simple, supposed to be some kind of introduction class, you know, And so who are new, then help about those old ones, I don't know, maybe. Okay, so next, I think next was Sim, Thursday? Okay. Okay, good night. Next time you have some question, then bring. You write down, you think, then bring the question. You have some. You need to clarify some, then you bring. Write down, bring next time.